like to thank everybody for coming today and thank everybody for their contributions to breakfast. We're going to try to buzz through this. This is November, so it's mainly budget meeting, but there's a couple of items we need to address ahead of time. And we'll get into that as soon as Mr. Hoff leads us in prayer.
Hallelujah. Dear kind Holy Father, we're thankful to gather today out at Deer Springs Ranch and to be able to have our board meeting. Please guide us as we're making decisions for the ranch and we'll be able to do what's best for the ranch. Please protect us while we're out here that we may have a good time and enjoy our stay. And these things we ask in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Can everybody on Zoom hear?
Yes.
Thank you. We're going to do roll call.
Yeah, I can catch everybody here, but we can go around. So I've got everybody on Zoom. We don't need to do Zoom.
Okay.
But everybody in present, if we can do that.
Let's start with the Levitts. No, you're not. What's your lot number?
330.
Thank you.
Collins 121.
LeClaire 188.
Hoff 83.
Gordison 67.
Jacobson 90.
Dan Wood 28.
Kevin Poole 64.
So all board members are present, so we've got a full quorum.
Great. Kay, do you want to lead us in October minutes?
Yeah, so October minutes were sent out to the board. There is only one correction of a spelling name or name misspelling. So make a motion that we go ahead and approve those minutes and get them posted to the website.
I'll second the motion.
All right.
I don't have any audio.
Uh-oh.
And Sally, I guess I just don't know how to unmute so I can hear the meeting.
Is anybody else having problems with audio?
No, she may just not have her speakers on.
Yeah, my audio's fine.
My audio is fine.
Yeah. Let me try and do a chat with her real quick and tell her to look for her speakers.
So on today's agenda, the only thing that I want to sideline, because this is mainly about budget, where are the carryovers from last?
They're at the very end.
The very end. Okay. So, ranch manager, posting and contract updates, I'd like to sideline that. That's a big topic, and I have a lot of contributions to make on that. With all due respect, it is something we need to discuss, but I really think that this is more about the budgets, this meeting, and catching up from last meeting. Is everybody good with that? Okay.
Well, I personally would like to just leave them on the agenda, and if we have time to get to them, we can. If we don't, we can... I mean, we're not going to get them done, I don't think.
Well, no, and that's, there's a lot of stuff that needs to be discussed about that position, and I just think that it deserves a meeting as the chief topic of that meeting. And
I moved to table that stuff.
Do you have anybody to second? Well, Kurt made a motion too, so. So all in favor?
Aye.
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 I'm going to say nay, but.
I'm going to say nay.
Dan, I didn't hear yours.
Aye.
Okay, so now the ranch manager replacements tabled. Did we want to table any of the other old business ones?
Those are the ones that we need to address if we apply.
Well, so the other one that might be tabled would be the fire safety. I don't know, Dan, with the fact that...
I thought we tabled that already.
Yeah. He said he was going to make a motion to table it in the meeting, so that's why I'm bringing it up.
Ah, there's a page two. Sorry.
So, Dan, did you want to table fire safety?
Table that.
I'll second that.
And then, well, there's one more table item, and that's Kevin Ballard's attending the same funeral as our fire district man is, so he won't be here. And that is also another huge discussion that deserves to have its own meeting.
So that's different than that.
And then the ranch house.
If we have time, those two.
Yeah.
Because that's its own. That is kind of separated out.
Okay.
So before you kill all of it.
I don't want to kill it all. Yeah. I'm just trying to give attention to what's most pertinent.
So but there was a motion to table the fire safety. And was all of, everybody in favor of that?
Yes.
Okay, so all are in favor of table with fire safety. And then are you making a motion to table cattle company lease?
Yes.
Or just the discussion with Kevin Ballard?
Well, the lease.
Yeah, we already kind of mentioned it last time. So Kevin Ballard, if Kevin's not here, I don't think there's much benefit in discussing.
The title of that section.
Right, all of the other ones are related to the lease and have ties to it based off of our last discussion. So, I'll make a motion to table that one since...
All of C?
All of C.
All right, second it.
All in favor? Okay, so that one's unanimous. And then you want to leave approval of the contracts on the agenda?
The contracts...
That was Abby Jones, Tina Collins, and Bart Bautista that was sent out.
Yeah, those are ones that we need to
finalize.
We'll just go to the end, do it at the end.
If we have time.
Yeah.
Okay.
Fair enough.
Okay.
And I apologize. I should have gotten together with you sooner on this.
Well, we needed to have them listed because they were tabled from last time.
Right.
So just retabling them is fine. But
and just, hopefully in December we can back clean up.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to start out with Michael, can I jump ahead of you?
Okay.
So we need to change the agenda. If you want to change the agenda, then let's
okay,
make a motion to change.
Let's do the treasurer's report.
Let's get that out and out because that should be quick.
Well, so did we approve the agenda other than the changes that we just made? Is everybody good? No other additions?
Now approved.
No other additions and changes from the board? Okay.
None here.
Okay, so treasurer report?
P&L was sent out. Currently in checking, we have $111,000. Between the two savings accounts, there is $21,000. CDs for reserves, the $106,000, and then there's another $10,000 in CDs for the annual meeting auction stuff. And Kate asked a question in email earlier. Yes, the savings too is the
water funds.
The water refund of the purchased items, so that is in its separate savings account.
And set aside for the water connections.
Set aside for the water connections.
Which lots are you still lacking on that?
So, Rod Johnson's, and then I can't remember the other one.
Rod Johnson, you can put down the road a little bit.
No, we can't. We have to have it all done by August. Yep.
Wow. Okay.
So August is the deadline?
I need to check with Brent. Brent thought it was November, but Larry thought it was August, so I need to verify which one's correct.
I think you're right. I think it's August of 2026, if I recall correct.
So
that's the last one is Rod's?
No, there's two. Rod's, and I can't remember the other.
147.
Yeah.
Yeah, that one is a little weird, though, because down the hill from where the meter was, we measured the hydrant, and it's 30 PSI, and we have to have 20, I believe.
Yeah, so there's
the meter, so we've talked about moving the meter down there.
Yeah, we could discuss. I got that on my agenda for the budget stuff, so we can talk about that when we get there, but the main thing was there, we just needed to check, because we got a refund. We purchased a bunch of the supplies from Schultz's, didn't end up using all those, got a refund back, and that's now sitting in a savings account. So,
other than that, are there any questions on the P&L?
I know
you do. Knock it out. What do you need?
So, it's later on in the agenda, but so the cabin revenues on cabin 2 and cabin 4 are very low, the revenues. So I was going to ask Kate about how many days of the year are they rented and everything. But so then I asked Brent to calculate the expenses for having the cabin sitting there open. He said between all the pilot lights, and what else was it? The water and everything else. It's about $45 a month for just the cabins to sit there waiting for reservations. So I'm spinning the idea around, proposing we close the low, words are beyond me. The low revenue cabins, if we shut them down, like close them, take them off the schedule, we're not going to be losing anything because people will just move to different cabins. And then we don't have the expense of them just sitting there. So I took the amount that they did make this year and subtracted the $45 a month. We only made $400 on cabin 2. And we made, I think, like $200, $300 on cabin 4. So I was just wanting to put it out there that I'm spinning it around in my mind. Maybe that's a possibility to try and save some.
Yes, we can look into that and see. I know cabins are going to be
a
priority and something part of next year's budgeting that's going to take place. So, yes.
Right, and then we were talking about maybe closing down cabin 2 anyway and trying to figure out how the rodents are getting in there. But if we're going to close it anyway, maybe we just close it.
Well, I think one option would be, because it's not that hard to light them up, is turn the water off and the propane off until it's rented. I talked a little bit with Joe Bose yesterday about that. He thinks that if we take the first few planks off the back deck of cabin 2 and finish mouse-proofing it, then that would probably solve the issue there. And I know the attic's a disgusting mess, but it's going to have to be faced.
Right.
It's better than dozing it over.
Well, I was thinking like maybe remodeling it like we did with 3 and take out all the kitchen. We can find any holes in the floor, but if we want to go through that expense when it doesn't make us but $400 a year.
Well, it may not be making us $400 a year because it's in such poor disarray.
Yeah.
So if we fix it, it may be a revenue-producing item.
And that is one of the cabins that does have brand-new beds in it.
I was thinking about that. If we shut it down, or pour it down even, and made a tent spot or a camping spot for RVs, because it has the water in the septic.
Right.
Then we could take the brand new stuff or reuse stuff in the cabin for a different cabin. And that's the cabin that's good. This is about the P&L, talking about how much money it's actually making and how much it costs and all that.
Thank you. It is on the radar of the board, yes. 100%. Any other questions?
Excuse me. This is Sally Miller calling, and I apologize. I got on late because I can't get in the Zoom. Nothing happens when I click on to the Zoom stuff, so I don't know why, but I really would like to be able to be on Zoom.
You are on Zoom if you're talking right now.
No, I'm on the telephone. I want to be on the computer.
I don't know that we have time to help you troubleshoot on the computer side of things, Sally. Sorry. I mean, it's working for other people on the computer, and coming in through the phone is kind of the same thing. So you are on the Zoom meeting.
Well, it says join Zoom meeting, and it's got the Zoom web everything, and when I click onto it, nothing happens. Nothing. Nothing.
Yeah, Cade.
Yeah.
Cade, this is Vance. She's right. The link is not working. You have to enter the meeting ID and passcode manually.
We didn't. It just logged us straight in without any information.
It didn't work for me, so something is wrong, and she is right. But you have to enter the meeting passcode and then the meeting ID and passcode manually if that does not work. The link just sat there for me, too, just like what she's describing.
Okay, so Lynette, you've got an option there. Or sorry, not Lynette. Sally, you've got an option to try and get on.
The meeting ID is in the email. The passcode is in the email. You have to start Zoom manually and enter it, and then you can be on the computer.
So what you're telling me is I have to put that long number letters and everything in manually?
Look further down. There are two lines. One says meeting ID, and one is meeting passcode. They're not that long.
No,
ago.
I see it.
Yes.
No, there. I see them. Yes. They're below the Zoom meeting.
Yep. Yes, you have
if
to.
What do I do?
Let's get back to the meeting, but she's right. You should just stay on the phone, Joan.
Okay. Well, I'm really disappointed that I can't. All right. Well, I'm on the phone, and I'm coming out of a conference to be in this meeting. So, anyway, go ahead.
Well, you can try it. If you want to try technically to do that, that's an option to try and get it fixed. But we can't try and fix it over the phone. Sorry.
No. Okay. All right. Well, anyway, yesterday I put something in anticipating something that I couldn't get in. But go ahead. Continue with the meeting.
Okay. I mean, you're hearing everything from the discussion. So as long as you can hear on the phone.
Yeah, I know. Yes. Okay. It's just not the same. But.
Okay, thank you.
So we're through with Michael. He's off the hook.
Briefly?
I think so.
Briefly? Briefly.
For a moment.
Jeff, you want to go on with the property manager report?
We don't have one.
Okay, that's a good start. How are we doing on battery installation?
We just got the batteries yesterday.
Okay.
So I distributed one set to the electrical building, the other one to headquarters. And Brent and myself are kind of putting together a plan on how and when to tackle them. Because once we pull the old batteries out, the electrical system is down.
Right.
So that's going to, down here, it's going to kill the phones, it's going to kill the internet, it's going to kill the garden cabin, number stop, it's going to kill everything.
Good time of year to kill everything.
So we got, same with the electrical building. So whoever's in cabins loses power. So we're trying to figure all that stuff out.
Okay.
But we do have them, and actually I have a contract too, and we captured all the serial numbers so we can sign this and get to Ben. He's supposed to be here.
Perfect.
May I ask, this is Sally again, may I ask if this has to do with the prepaid 60-month battery equipment lease? Is that what you're talking about?
Yes.
And this has to do with all the electrical stuff on the ranch? Is this what this is?
The batteries are for the lower ranch house, or the lower, the ranch house and the garden cabin, and then there's another set of batteries for the lower cabins. But yeah, the electrical building and systems down here at the lower portion of the ranch, that's what the batteries are for.
I was puzzled to see the words enjoy and enjoyment in the list of stuff.
I don't know what you're referring to, Sally.
Number 10 and number 14, shall install, operate, and enjoy daily use. Shall operate the equipment for their sole enjoyment and at their risk, at their sole risk.
Yeah, so Sally, that contract was on the agenda last month, and was discussed and actually agreed to already at this point. So
okay, yeah, I just wanted to understand it. I don't think I was at the meeting last month. Anyway.
Yeah, so basically it's like a purchase, but structured as a lease in order to get some tax benefits from it. And if you want to reach out online, we can give you a better explanation of that.
Great. All right. That's fine. Thank you.
Thanks, Sally.
The words joy and stuff she's using are not in this contract.
Well, that was probably the old contract. Because he changed it up a little bit based on our feedback.
The standard draft.
Okay. Well, that's my confusion. I'm scanning. I'm like, yeah, I don't see the word joy.
It's not currently in the contract, Sally.
Good.
I was puzzled. What else have we been up to? Nothing really, right?
Everything's closed, winterized.
Yeah, everything that was set to be closed.
Set to be closed and winterized, yeah.
Yeah, we closed and winterized it all. The last guest in the cabin one sent over a list of repair stuff that I have noted for when we do get a property manager. Basically it. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
You gotta go to the mic. This is open mic night.
Candy Bose, lot 107. Do you have any idea how the winter months look for the lower cabins and rentals? Do we have quite a few, or this isn't the right time to ask? I know you're not property manager, but I didn't know if you'd be aware of how we look for
season. I'm taking the reservations and handling the reservations. So next year is very, very light right now, but we usually don't get a lot of people reserving for next year until like January, December, kind of that time frame.
You're talking about
for the end of the year, we only rent until November. So at the end of November, we shut all of the cabins down, irregardless, just because of snow and stuff that way. So right now, I was trying to run some reports based off of Tina's stuff, but we really don't have that many through the end of November. Cabin 8 is rented, though I have heard of a couple people that want to maybe rent over Thanksgiving for Cabin 7, but Garden Cabin isn't rented for the rest of the year.
Okay, I was just curious about numbers.
Yeah, so we have two different rentals coming in for Cabin 8 in November. But nothing for Garden Cabin or Cabin 7 as of yet.
Thank you.
So, okay, the Garden Cabin is available to be rented at any given moment, correct?
Correct. So is Cabin 7 right now, up until the end of November. If you guys want to schedule a time to shut down the system, we can block it out.
And then how does that work with the ranch phone and internet and all that kind of stuff? Do we need to set up some kind of backup?
We're not getting that many phone calls on the ranch phone, but I mean, yeah, you can probably just plug in a power socket, like a little power socket, one of the little power boxes. It's just a 9-volt thing. I think that would probably last for several days.
Well, because we were talking about maybe starting with the electrical building and pull the power from there. Bring it down here, so when we tackle this one, we can hook everything to that old dying batteries, because they're portable. Yeah. Right? Because they're in a box.
But well, I mean, even just a, I think even just a power bank, because all the we'll have to talk with Vance. And Vance, maybe you can answer real quick. But the actual internet stuff should be powered without anything else. So it's just plugging in the phone, and then everything else should work. And I don't think you need any other power for the phone to work.
No, the internet is powered still through the house power.
Starlink is, but the phone isn't on Starlink, so we don't need Starlink necessarily.
Oh, internet, though, you mean the ranch network, not correct. The Starlink network. Yeah.
So we just need the ranch network up and the phone up. But even there, I don't know if the phone's an emergency. The board can decide. But we've got maybe 3 phone calls in the last month, and most of them were people still looking for Kurt.
So, Cade, you asked me to chime in here?
Yes. What would you need to power down here at the ranch house in order to keep the phone up?
Well, why are we going to be down with power at the ranch house for anything except maybe an hour? There's no reason for that.
Because we got to disassemble the entire battery bank, remove it out of there, and then put the whole
new battery system in.
Bank in.
That's not going to take that. That's going to take, even if it's a day, who cares?
And it's going to need to be programmed to lithium batteries. Correct.
Yeah, the whole thing should not take more than a few hours to do, and so we don't have the ranch phone for the few hours. Yeah, I'm saying, so what?
What? I agree.
We're gonna rebuild the insulation box, so we have to take that out, move the old batteries, rebuild the box, put the things, figure out all the wiring.
These are self-heated batteries, I thought.
No,
that's incorrect.
No, they're liquid cooled. They make their own heat.
Okay.
Okay, so I still don't understand why you think it's going to take so long.
Well, it's not that we think it's going to take so long.
But if it does, they want to have a backup.
Yeah, is there an easy backup solution if it had to go overnight or over days?
Like if we just put in like a jackery or something like that and plug the phone in, what else needs to be plugged in the ranch house?
No, as soon as you kill the 48-volt power in the ranch house, I mean, in the solar container for the ranch house, you will lose all the network stuff at the HQ, and there's multiple pieces of it that need to be up and running for the phone to work. You follow?
Yeah, do you want to be here when they do that? Or
no, I don't, because I can't, and... it'll all come back if you guys pay attention and carefully reassemble everything. It's not that hard. That's why I'm and not having the landline phone for a few days again. I don't.
Yeah, no disagreement. Could you prepare a list of steps and the order those steps need to be taken in for them to restore the power when it's up and running again?
Well,
if the power's back, we should be fine. All this stuff should come back up. Is that a correct statement, Vance?
Yeah, what you need to do is you need to take a piece of paper or multiple pieces of paper and your phone, and you need to take pictures of everything before you touch it and make notes to yourself and label things with pieces of masking tape with notes on them. And if you put it all back the way it was, it'll work. So when are you planning on doing this whole thing? I will be there the week after Thanksgiving.
I think that's a good time.
We don't have a plan yet necessarily.
Well, week after Thanksgiving is a conflict with any reservations because the cabins will be shut down at that point in time.
Yeah.
That's probably the best time to do it.
It's not critical if you don't have the phone for a few days, especially if nobody's going to go out, there's not much activity, nobody's going to chainsaw their leg off or something and need to call 911. Go ahead and learn from doing what you need to do in the electrical building up at the cabins, and you will learn some things, trust me. And then we'll be ready to, rock and roll on the bottom ones. And if you want to postpone that till I'm there, you know, certainly it'll be easier, I think, if you don't have to try to puzzle out what's going on down there in the ranch house solar container, because there's no way to put this lightly. It's a frigging mess.
So that's the weekend after Thanksgiving, or the week after Thanksgiving, you're talking December 1st through the 5th?
Yeah, I'm going to my brother's in California. I'll be leaving. I'll be transiting to the ranch theoretically, and hopefully on the 29th. So starting the 30th and through that week.
Okay, so the cabins are all shut down on the 1st of December, so maybe we can just plan on that.
Yeah, right. There's no need to make it any harder than it is, and it isn't really all that hard, but if you haven't been involved in the solar container for the HQ for the last 10 years, you're going to run into something that's going, and you're going to do the deer in the headlights, WTF, you know, whatever you want to call it. You're going to go, what's going on here? You know?
Yeah. Well, Brent's planning to help out. So if you and Brent are both there, I think we should be good.
Yeah.
Are you okay? Wait until then.
Okay. Right. Sure.
So that's the current plan, and we'll go with that.
Okay. Yeah. And truthfully, currently you are, the ranch house battery bank is holding up because there's very little use.
Well, it's been shutting down still at night.
No, ranch house, not the cabins.
The ranch house has been shutting down at night. That's why the Starlink is down.
Really? What are you guys running?
Starlink.
And?
And the phone. And the fridge.
And how many freezers and fridges?
Two.
Two. Well, there's one in the ranch house. Well, you unplugged that one. So we... Yeah, the batteries are pretty dead in the ranch house.
Okay, so things have drastically changed since I last checked in on them. All right, fair enough.
Yeah, when Cody was still here, he was having to run a generator at night in order to keep things running.
Which nobody told me about, so.
Okay.
Okay.
I kind of gave my report on the cabin usage, so we're done there.
Out of there. Does anybody have some contributions for the agenda that we're about to start talking about?
Open forum.
Open forum.
So yeah, we kind of moved the open forum to the before we start discussing. So now's your opportunity to provide any feedback on any of the items that we're waiting to discuss.
How do I raise my hand?
May I ask a question since I missed the first part of the meeting? how much money does the ranch have totally in its accounts?
Michael's getting that again for you.
Thank you.
And checking, $21,000 in savings.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear the beginning. What?
$111,000. In checking.
Okay.
$21,000 in savings.
Well, can you just give me a total?
Approximately $150,000.
About $150,000. Okay, thanks.
About $130,000 in liquid cash. And $106,000 in reserve funds in CDs.
Okay, so about $300,000. Yes.
$240,000.
Yeah. Okay. I'm just rounding off. Thank you. Thanks.
Okay. It sounded like somebody else wanted to make a comment.
I'm wanting to, before you all start talking about the new business, I have some questions and a comment.
Okay.
So are you ready for that?
Yes, that's what we're waiting for.
Okay, all right, good. So So I've got some questions. Cad, am I pronouncing your name correctly? Cad, is that right?
Cade.
I'm sorry?
Cade.
Cade, okay. Are you a lawyer?
I am not.
I'm sorry, no. I didn't hear your answer.
No, I am not.
You're not, okay. Okay. Thank you. So in terms of the issues, which I'm attempting to understand, could you and Dan in one or two sentences, and I'm just going to, since I only have a few minutes, I'm going to ask several questions, and if you need me to go back because you've forgotten what they are, I'll be glad to do that. But I'm going to be under my 2 minutes in terms of my questions. So the first thing is I would like you, Cud, and Dan to, in a sentence or two, just tell me what your thinking is in regards to your position. So that's the first
Sally,
thing.
Sally, we just lost you.
You lost me? Are you not hearing me?
Can the rest of the everybody else can hear us? Okay, so we just lost Sally.
Hello. Yes, I can hear you. Could you not hear me?
Hey. No, you cut out right when you started your first question, so just repeat your first question.
Okay, I will say, let me say it again. So the first thing I would like is to understand from Chad and Dan, I would like you to tell me your thinking regarding your position for this 4.02. And then, and I would be interested in the board's reasoning in terms of where they are. And I'm wondering, so here's some questions. what kind of liability insurance does the ranch have? And I'm wondering in terms of board members, does everybody on the board have life insurance? And I'm wondering why. And when you're driving your car, do you put seat belts on? And why do you do that? If you take a plane anywhere, do you put your seat belts on? And the reasoning behind that. So those are some of my questions, and I'd like some answers for you two and then the board members. And then I've got just one sentence statement to make when you all are through.
Make your sentence statement now, please. This is the open forum. We will address your questions.
I'm sorry?
Make your statement now, please. This is the time.
Sure.
It's the open
forum. All right.
Because
I will be glad to make my statement. My statement is this, and I do want answers to my questions. I ask each of you on the board to put aside your emotion, your personal prejudices and biases, and vote based on facts for what's the best decision for the ranch now and 100 years from now. That is my statement. So now I would like answers to my questions, starting out with the liability insurance. After Cad and Dan make their one or two sentence statements.
So, Sally, just to kind of clarify what we're planning on doing with that. So the board doesn't want to keep going back and forth on questions and answers related to stuff. So we've got your statement. Once we're all done, we will have a discussion period within the board where we'll answer your questions. We've noted those questions, and we'll respond to those questions because other members may have similar questions. We don't want to just keep repeating those. So we'll
okay.
respond to the questions after we hear comments from the rest of the members and go from that perspective. Are you okay with that?
That's fine. And may I clarify for me, and you can tell me if I'm right or not? So the idea of this 4.02 is that right now all of us are under the umbrella of keeping it, which means that we're protected in terms of any liability. If it's removed, then anybody could sue, and it could be very costly to the ranch. Is that correct, very succinctly?
We'll answer questions during the discussion amongst the board when we get to the topic. So your answer, okay. Your question will be.
Yeah, and I think there's going to be differing opinions on that statement, even among the board.
Well,
so.
I'm asking. It's a question. It's not an answer. It's a question.
Yeah, but we're not answering questions at this juncture.
Yep.
We have your question.
Okay.
Okay. Anybody else on Zoom that wants to ask, make a comment?
I have a question or comment. This is Donna from Lot 198. I have sent a couple emails to the board at Deer Springs Ranch email address, and I've asked for confirmation that they've been received, and neither one of them were replied back to, and I didn't want to comment or anyone to comment on it. I was just submitting an idea to give to the committee on the waiver issue, and I just want to know if that email box is monitored and if people ever reply.
So real quick to answer that question, the email box is monitored. It goes to every single board member, so it forwards to every single board member. I'm checking right now to see if I can see one of your emails that has come through.
So who is your provider? Who is your email provider?
It's on Gmail. It would have come through my business. It says datapathsystems.net, I think. I said it in the office.
That's fine. And something has changed recently. And all of the board emails in my Gmail account and my Comcast account are going to the spam or junk folder. So you may want to check there.
Oh, I check my spam folder every day. Like, there's nothing in there. I didn't see a reply, but maybe I missed it.
So we did get your email on October 28th, and Kurt Jacobson responded. Okay, that's the problem. He didn't include you in his response.
Okay.
So we thought that it had responded. So he did respond, but he didn't include you in the response. He just hit reply. So the problem that we've got with that is if we don't include the original sender, then it doesn't go back to you. So that's
all right.
Problem on
that's
our side.
Bad. I should have said reply all.
Yeah, but we did receive it, and we did get your comment for consideration.
Okay, so. I just wasn't sure what the routing of that email went, or if it went to one person, and maybe they just didn't see it. And it's not like it was critical. I just wanted to understand the email system, it was being seen by people anyway. And I check my spam folder if there's replies. But okay,
yeah, and we did get to one on the 25th as well. It was a great. Okay. Yeah, so we were able to review that as well.
Okay, thank you.
Anybody else on Zoom before we go to people here in the meeting? Okay, I think Tina was at the mic.
All right, Tina Collins, 121. When we met with Cody when he was leaving, we asked him what his overall sense of the job description was and what he values and what he didn't value. He said having the store in control of the caretaker, or the caretaker in control of the store and getting all the profits, that's a loser. It's a waste of time. It's not, he doesn't make any money. It's just time consuming. So my proposal is the ranch take it back from the caretaker description and we reorganize, make it a meeting friendly room. If it's inclement weather, we can move inside, just have chairs lined up or whatever, and only have T-shirts, hats, and maps. Those are the three things that people ask me where things are, where those things are, and how they can buy them. So I want to re-put those back in the store along with drinks. And we don't have a freezer. Yeah.
We've
talked about that. Anyway, that's my proposal for the store. And I wanted to know, I sent you all the email for the legal references on 4.02. And I wanted to know if everyone clicked on the links and read all the information I sent.
Yes, I did.
Okay.
Yes, I did.
Okay, is there anybody else here that wants to provide any comments? Tammy Levitt.
Tammy Levitt, 239. We have a new neighbor in Slide with heavy equipment, and he knows how to use it, and he's willing to help. His name is Wayne. I don't know his last name. What's his last number? But he's a new owner. And so he tried to reach out to the board after staffer elections because he doesn't know the way things really work much, and he wanted to offer his help, and you guys kind of bit his head off when he opened the door.
I don't think anybody bit his head off.
He's like, whoa. So if you guys want to reach out to him and use his expertise, he's going to be out here full time after he's through building.
Frankly, I talked to him at the annual meeting, requested his phone number, and he didn't have it with him or didn't know it or something. But
he hasn't been here.
So, you know, that kind of limits our ability to respond to someone who doesn't give us a contact information.
Okay, Brad can get
the why don't you give him the email to the board so we can address him like that?
Okay. That'd be helpful. He's going to be here with equipment. So.
Right.
Okay, any more comments?
Okay. The ratification or removal of 4.02, there's been a lot of back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. And so I put together a committee, that includes Tom LeClaire to lead, Jeff Collins, Michael Jordison, Tina Warhurst, and Greg Bauer have all agreed to be on a committee to discuss their differences on the 4.02 and to bring us back some proposed resolutions for it. And in the meantime, I'd just like to sideline it and give them some time to discuss it and then bring a proposal to us.
Who is on this committee again?
Tom LeClaire, Jeff Collins, Michael Jordison, Tina Warhurst, and Greg Bauer.
Before you put a committee together, we have to make a decision on 4.02, whether it was adopted within state law governance.
Okay.
So putting the committee together is putting the cart before the horse.
Okay.
We have to either decide if we're going to enforce, if it was adopted correctly, if we're going to re-ratify it the way it sits. But we have to be putting the committee together. Is great if we need it.
If we need it.
So let's decide if we're going to. First off. All right, I'll go first.
Yeah, obviously.
I'll go first.
Since I can't see, would you identify yourself before you speak so I know who's speaking? Thank you.
Michael Jordison, 67. So.
Thank you.
You bet. Everything was sent out to the members. There are two opposing legal opinions. The legal opinion that represents DSROA stated that they believe that 4.02 was not adopted and given proper notification to the members in the amount of time it should have. There is a second legal opinion that was sought after by a specific member, and that legal opinion represents a different opinion. I believe, based on the timeline, that 4.02 was not adopted within the governance of Utah state law. So we can try, we as a board can try to enforce that, but as soon as somebody comes back and says, please show me that we were given due notice in the time given by law, we can't produce that. If we can't produce that, we can't enforce it.
So, this is Thomas LeClaire, 188. Thank you, Michael. I would just add that I think the legal opinion that also denotes not having the proper time, that attorney did mention several other reasons why they thought the rule was suspended or was never legitimate.
Correct. There were other reasons, but the biggest thing is, as a board, when that was adopted, we were not given, the members were not given the proper notification in the proper amount of time based on Utah state law.
So here's my proposal is that we vote to either ratify or remove it. Making it a simple vote.
Who's speaking? Wait a minute. Who's speaking when you speak, please?
Okay, so this is Cade Hoff, Lot 83.
Thank you.
So there's obviously disagreement even within the board as to whether it was adopted correctly. There's difference of opinions of legal stuff that way. So the only way to clear this out is to either ratify it right now. If the board chooses to ratify 4.02, then it can be, we gave proper notice this time. It would be in full force and effect, and we can go ahead and proceed forward and enforce it. If we choose not to ratify it, it still leaves the waiver in place for the cabins. Members can voluntarily sign a waiver anytime they want to, and we can form a committee as Kurt suggested and review the waiver, try and come up with resolutions to concerns, et cetera, related to that, and kind of proceed forward. And so to kind of respond back to Sally's question, no, I'm not a lawyer. My viewpoint on the waiver is I have no issue with the waiver, even as it's currently constituted. And I've actually signed the waiver. I've rented the cabins multiple times. Our CC&Rs actually in the CC&R say that we can't sue the ranch. The difficulty that I have with Rule 4.02 is that it is essentially forcing members to sign away their rights. And I think that puts the waiver itself actually at risk as far as enforceability. So
the mayor has muted you if they can hear you and you're talking while they're trying to have a meeting.
Were you hearing multiple people?
Okay. Excuse me, what's going on now? This is Sally. I'm trying to listen.
Somebody just spoke, somebody just spoke up and sounded like they were hearing back end noise anyway. My viewpoint is that I'm not opposed to a waiver, but I am opposed to forcing members to sign a waiver on an annual basis. It needs to be voluntary. That's the purpose of waivers, is that you're voluntarily giving up rights, et cetera, that way. And so if the committee or whatever can figure out a way to do that, then I'm in favor of that, but I'm not in favor of 4.02 as it stands, especially with the suggestion of imposing penalties related to that rule. So right now I think the best action for the board is to vote one way or another, either ratify it, and if we can get enough board members in favor of it to ratify it, then the board can proceed forward and try and enforce it and take whatever action is that way. If we don't ratify it, that leaves us open to come up with other solutions and other scenarios that equally protect the ranch. So
Sally wanted Dan's opinion as well. Kate's given his, so now it stands.
What is not Dan,
here's a mic.
Well, that'll help.
This is Dan Wirt, 28. What has not been mentioned is the content of the opposing attorney's opinion, which was there over 2 years, there's been substantial compliance. And in that opinion, the attorney feels that a judge in Kanab would find that there was substantial compliance with the state law. Also, with regard to quote unquote forcing members to sign waivers, we already have that. You can't rent a cabin without signing that waiver.
But you're not forced to rent a cabin, are you?
It's an activity, and we've attached a waiver to an activity.
That's right. And there are many other activities here, which are risky.
Does DSROA oversee those activities?
Or charge for them.
Or charge for those activities. Do we encourage you to go out and drive your four-wheeler? We don't encourage you. It's an activity that's allowed here, but we don't oversee that like we do the cabins. We don't administrate it.
But I think the bigger argument for me is the only way to avoid that activity would be not to come out at the ranch at all and or sell your lot, which I don't find a reasonable alternative.
Under the current language, roads are...
Please identify yourselves when you're talking. Thank you.
Thomas LeClaire, 188. Under the current language, roads are common area that you would be forced to sign the waiver to access, which goes against the bylaws and the law of the state of Utah, that you cannot deny somebody access to their property.
It also, in the bylaws, there's already essentially a stripped-down waiver that everybody is required to follow because it's in the bylaws, and it's a liability waiver. The only thing that Barry Clarkson did was to add specific risks to that. So nobody is being forced to sign a waiver. Nobody is being forced to sign a waiver because it's already in the bylaws. The only thing that's added are specific risks.
And fines.
That's right. And none of the rules can, in this regard, none of the rules are actually in effect, because none of them were adopted per the state guidelines.
Then this board should fix that.
Thank you for putting that on record.
And that's a good point. Mm-hmm.
We will make sure to fix that during this session.
Yeah.
During this session.
Or not this session, but during
this board,
the next year.
This board.
This board's tenure. Forgive my terms.
Yeah, the fact is that the waiver is in the bylaws.
Well, that makes it redundant then, doesn't it?
No, it's not.
Okay, so it's different.
It's different. It's different because it lacks specificity.
So then if it's different, I think the point is made.
Yeah, so here's the bottom line. This has been argued back and forth for multiple times, and none of the board, we're not going to come to an 100% agreement on the board. So I would like to make a motion.
No, the discussion is not finished.
Okay, what other discussion do I have?
So this statement I want to have entered verbatim in the written meetings, in the written minutes for this meeting. The move to weaken or remove the annual waiver rule 4.02 is very short-sighted. Last July, I obtained a formal legal opinion, and this is not the legal opinion that we're talking about regarding.
It was a legal opinion that was sent out to the members, right? Fisher, or a different one?
A different one.
Okay.
Last July, I obtained a formal legal opinion from a Utah licensed attorney, which concluded that the best practice for Deer Springs Ranch would be to give, would be to have both insurance and a waiver. Nobody in the anti-waiver opposition has obtained a legal opinion countering this, probably because they know that no competent Utah attorney would disagree. Jordanson has even expressed the opinion that we don't need to follow any practice that is not codified in Utah law. My opinion is that the primary responsibility of the board, its fiduciary responsibility, is to follow best practices to protect the multi-million dollar value and incomparable beauty of the common property. No matter whether those best practices are codified into law or not, and no matter what some short-sighted members think. Another argument that Jordanson makes is that other HOAs do not employ blanket liability waivers. This is irrelevant and a frivolous argument because other HOAs do not have the same characteristics and risk profile as Deer Springs Ranch. Then, over the last 2 years, we've heard multiple times, just increase the insurance. And I've countered multiple times that insurance rates are getting more and more expensive. I saw the handwriting on the wall, and sure enough, just in the last 90 days, the cost of umbrella coverage has skyrocketed. Our insurance agent characterized the increase as astronomical. Yet the current board has refused to even include increased insurance costs in the budget. The insurance company for a large HOA in northern Utah, Uintalands, refused to issue a liability policy unless Uintalands prohibited swimming in their ponds. Other members have advocated multiple activity-specific waivers. This would be impractical and intrusive, virtually unenforceable. Trying to collect separate waivers for use of ranch roads, use of ponds, water use, camping, hiking, etc., simply would not work at Deer Springs Ranch. Before the electronic cabin reservation system was established, hard copy cabin waiver compliance was very poor. However, Cade Hoff has agreed to put on his speedos and provide lifeguard service at the ponds all summer long. This would have the added benefit of scaring off the rattlesnakes. The current board has even greatly reduced the budget line item for warning signs. In the June 2025 board meeting, Larry Clarkson pointed out that in the history of Deer Springs Ranch, all of the serious incidents with potential liability implications occurred outside the cabins. The response of one current board member to this is, "But we've never been sued. So relax." This is a classic example of the gambler's fallacy. The outcome of previous events does not predict the outcome of the next event. The only rational thing to do is to evaluate and acknowledge the risk profile at Deer Springs Ranch and take sensible precautions. I view those board members opposed to best practice for protecting the common assets of Deer Springs Ranch as being an existential threat to the multi-million dollar value of the common assets. It should be remembered that the waiver, the annual waiver rule, and the penalty rule for violating any rule were the work of Barry Clarkson. Over many years, Barry has provided great legal and leadership services to Deer Springs Ranch on a volunteer basis. Several members of the current board so abused Barry that he resigned from the previous board. The lay, unqualified legal concoctions of those same board members will not substitute for Barry's expertise volunteered over years. The recent submission by a member employing artificial intelligence to analyze the adoption of Rule 4.02 was deeply flawed, serving to illustrate the weakness and potential danger of over-reliance on artificial intelligence and the importance of legal analysis by qualified humans. How was this artificial intelligence analysis flawed? It failed to incorporate the actual risk profile of Deer Springs Ranch and advocated activity-specific waivers for only two activities, cabin use and RV use. Artificial intelligence did not contemplate the potential consequences of a 10-year-old kid suffering near drowning in a pond, severe hypoxic brain damage, and requiring several million dollars of medical and supportive care for decades. Finally, if the board had a qualified legal opinion that advocated for a best practice to protect the common assets of Deer Springs Ranch, but 51% of members were opposed to that, what do you think the board should do? This is a rhetorical question. In this case, the board has a fiduciary duty to protect the common assets despite the opinion of 51% of members.
Dan, can I ask a question about the attorney's opinion? So you've challenged us that we're not bringing an opinion that says...
Please identify yourself.
Jeff Collins, 121. That we're not bringing an opinion from a Utah licensed attorney to challenge best practice. I believe your attorney is accurate that that would be best practice. So, therefore, I wouldn't bring an opposing opinion for that. What I am opposing, and I don't see anything in the attorney's opinion, is having a rule that mandates a signature makes that document garbage. Because the document needs to be signed willfully. A rule removes willful. I don't see where the attorney has said otherwise.
Any attorney
other than Barry Clarkson.
No.
Oh.
In fact, I have consulted informally two other Utah licensed attorneys. And they say you're wrong, Jeff.
Okay.
They say that you have essentially signed a waiver because you abide by the you live here and abide by the bylaws.
Correct.
And that waiver is in the bylaws.
Protective covenants, actually.
It's in the governing document.
So that is the waiver in which when I bought a property here, I agreed to that waiver. Now you're introducing a different piece of paper. We just agreed 10 minutes ago. It's different, correct?
Now
you have a different document that you're implementing a rule that says sign this piece of paper.
It is essentially the same waiver, only adding specificity.
It's not the same then.
Can we finish at number 10? Okay.
Let's go ahead. This is
Tammy Levitt again, Lot 239. Some of us live out here. Some of us see plenty of people that are not Deer Springs members that drive on these roads. Are we going to put up a gate off of Scootum Paw to make them sign a waiver so they can't sue if they get hurt when they're driving out of Deer Springs? It makes no sense unless you have complete control.
So
there's people that come out.
Yeah. So I looked into that initially when I started thinking more about this. This is Thomas 188. So if you're not a member owner on Deer Springs Ranch, there are state protections for non-members who come onto the property that they can't sue us.
Because otherwise, I mean, how can you control what everybody does?
You can't.
100%.
You can't.
That's
you're right.
That's why we have six signs that are going up soon.
Yeah.
Well,
can I interject?
Yes.
Yeah, this is Israel Whitbeck 274. And Tom, not trying to be difficult, and I certainly understand that there may be some state protections, but it is definitely possible that somebody that is not a Deer Springs invitee or owner could sue us, even if they were not an owner. I can flip that argument saying it's reasonably foreseeable that there's outside parties using the road, so you should take reasonable steps to ensure that it's safe. So that it is the same, and it supports the argument that, yeah, you can't control it, so it's silly. And also, this arguing over attorney's opinions as if it's somehow law, it's just a little silly. I can get an attorney to say one thing, and you can get one to say exactly the other. So using that as some sort of authority really doesn't hold much weight.
Except for their expertise in what they're saying.
Yeah, but I can find an attorney that'll say something completely opposite, and I can cite case law and spin the argument. That's what an attorney does. They take.
Yeah, you must be an attorney yourself.
Yeah, so that you can just spin it the other way. So it's, you know, I mean, the only way this would ultimately ever be solved is to put it up in front of a judge and eventually a jury. So, I mean, that's the only way it's going to settle it. It's kind of silly just to fight with one attorney A versus attorney B because, they'll say whatever you want them to say.
I would like to say, this is Tammy again, that to me, it looks like it'd be best if we just started over from scratch and wrote it looking closely at Utah law and what really works for us out here.
Thank you, Tammy.
I totally agree. Need to start all over.
Got one more person. Tina, you got another comment?
So, Dan, you are convoluting the waiver with Rule 4.02. So they're totally two different things.
Exactly.
Yes. So we're trying to get rid of 4.02 because you cannot force people to sign a waiver. That is unlawful. Did you read all my legal references that I sent you?
Yes, I did. And Israel Whitbeck is correct. You can get differing opinions easily from attorneys.
Yes, but I'm not here to quote who the people are. Let him finish. Finding these opinions of your first opinion says it's best practice to have a waiver, not hey you need a waiver that you force down people's throats. That is wrong. And you need to open your eyes and see that you're wrong.
So when we use our seatbelts on cars and planes, we are being forced. We are being forced to do what we're told to do. Being forced.
Tina, I have read your opinion.
So I'd like to make a motion that we close the discussion.
Also, the other thing is conversation. One more thing, and then I'll sit down. You live in Kanab. If the city of Kanab, all these higher-ups, come to your house and say, you live in Kanab, you have to sign this waiver. Are you going to sign it? Or are you going to move? Or are you going to refuse? Because it's not voluntary, and you are agreeing. So waivers are solid, unless the...
For the good of the common good. For the good of the common good.
Sally. Please stop interrupting.
Sorry.
You would not sign an agreement. It does not make sense if a city official comes and forces people to sign an agreement just because you live in the city. We live here. You should not force us to sign a legal document.
Okay. I'm going to respond to Tina now and not be interrupted again, please. So I have read your opinion, and I have two other opinions from attorneys that say you're wrong.
Stop. Let him have the floor.
I'm not prepared to say, because they are informal opinions from two Utah licensed attorneys. But you're right. What's on the agenda is not the waiver. It's Rule 4.02. All I'm saying is that I have two other opinions which say you're wrong.
Okay, so we have lots of opinions. Go ahead, Joe.
How many attorneys did you have to go to agree with you, and how many disagreed with you and wouldn't take your case? I don't believe anything you're saying.
Okay, this is why I want to put a committee together so we can discuss this. I initially asked Dan to head it, and he didn't want to do it, so I asked Tom to head it, and the other participants have agreed, and I really think that you need to put the waiver 4.02 trio, as it's also put into consideration with the committee, and I would like to put that to a vote.
Kurt,
to a committee.
Kurt.
Dan.
I'm sorry, you're mixing apples and oranges.
I'm actually...
I'm
go ahead.
Responding to you now. You're mixing apples and oranges. I did not agree to be on a committee regarding the waiver. The waiver is not on the agenda now. Rule 4.02 is on the agenda. You seem to think that we need a committee to review 4.02. I did not agree to be on a committee regarding the waiver, because I already have an opinion from a Utah licensed attorney.
We're aware of that.
About the waiver, and that it is good practice for Deer Springs Ranch to have a waiver and insurance.
So, Kurt, I'm not arguing with that at all, Dan. And I agree with you on that. What I'm concerned with is if it's something that everybody has to sign, then we need to have the people that oppose it and people that are for it, people that are neutral on it, on a committee to reword it and get something that everybody's comfortable with. And a lot of people are not comfortable with signing away their rights on the ranch. And I think that it deserves some discussion.
So, Kurt,
it's taken 2 years.
Yeah, so I'd like to just propose. So my proposal was just to try and settle whether or not 4.02 was enforceable or not enforceable. So I'd like to put my motion out there that we vote on that, and then if we want to move on to forming a committee in later times or whatever, that way we can do that. But I it wasn't an intent to argue about it. We've been arguing about it for the last 2 years.
Have we closed public
comment? So I'd like to close public comment and then make a motion to vote on 4.02.
Let's close public comments, and I second.
So the motion I'd like to make is that we vote to ratify 4.02. So if you approve of 4.02, you'll vote yes, and 4.02 will still stay in place. If we do not ratify 4.02, then 4.02 is removed. So if you vote no, that we're not ratifying it, then 4.02 is no longer in effect and in place. So I would be ratify yes, and it's enforceable, we'll proceed forward enforcing it, and then publicize it like we're supposed to with everything we need to do. And a nay, we don't ratify it, would be, I'm opposed to, we're removing 4.02. So
this is the requirement to sign a waiver.
This is the requirement.
This isn't a waiver. This isn't the waiver. This is just the requirement.
The annual requirement to sign a waiver. The requirement to sign the waiver upon rental of a cabin is still in place. So we're not changing that. And if we need to modify the waiver or whatever for future problems, we can do that. But this is removing the annual requirement. It's either ratifying or removing the annual requirement to sign the waiver. That's all it's doing.
Right.
So your motion is to ratify.
The motion is to ratify it. So if you do not want to ratify it, you need to vote no. Right. Is everybody on the board clear what my motion is?
Very clear.
Do we have a second?
I'll second.
Okay, so Jeff's seconded. So all in favor of ratifying 4.02?
No.
No. He's asking who's in favor.
Any in favor?
Please identify yourself before your vote.
Dan Wirt voted yes. Anybody else in favor of ratifying 4.02? Okay, all against or all opposed? Cade's opposed.
I'm opposed. No.
I'm opposed at this time.
State your name, please. State your name, please.
90.
It will all be in the minutes.
Everybody's opposed so far except we have heard from Kevin Poole. Kevin? Kevin abstains. So the vote result was Kevin abstains. Dan is in favor of ratifying. All other board members were opposed to ratifying 4.02. Okay, we can move on to the next agenda item.
But can he then make a motion?
Yeah.
Do you want to make a motion for your committee?
He just needs
to I want to make a motion for my committee to go forward with rewording, discussing.
Reviewing the waiver.
I would and say any associated
laws. Any associated laws around it. We call it the trio. And to kind of follow state law, county law.
So the members that have agreed to do that are...
The committee is going to... We're going to sideline it. Okay. Committee is going to discuss it and bring a proposal to the board.
So but the committee is Tom LeClair?
It's going to be Tom LeClair is going to be heading it. Jeff Collins, Michael Jordison, Tina Warhurst, and Greg Bauer.
Bauer, sorry. I want to object to the content of that board or that committee. I know four of them have voiced opposition to a waiver already. It's a non-biased committee or completely biased committee.
They're trying to reword it.
I'm happy. I'll respond to Kevin.
Okay.
I'm happy to go on record saying that I am not opposed to a waiver. I'm opposed to the current language in the waiver. So my goal in chairing the committee will be to come back with language that is more acceptable. I don't believe it's correct for DSROA to ask me to sign away a child's rights who's a guest. I believe that goes against some rules or some laws somewhere. I can't sign away somebody else's rights, especially a minor.
Right.
I'm also against indemnification. We're covered under the CCNRs and our other guiding documents that a special assessment can be in place when needed. People don't need to indemnify the ranch individually and take on the legal cost of defending the ranch. So I'm not in favor of a waiver. I'm only not in favor of the current language in the waiver. So my goal would be to put a waiver back in place. Well, do we have any other, Kevin, do you have any suggestions of other people that might provide an unbiased? Well, we tried to put Dan on there, but Dan wasn't willing to participate.
Why don't you put it out there to the membership and have a true non-biased group?
I don't think this is a...
There's no such thing.
Yeah, there is. It's
no, there's
simple.
Not.
Two and two or three and three. You got three, four, and three against. That's an unbiased group. You need the people that are going to voice their opinion prior to acceptance to that committee because, like I said, four of them have voiced opposition in the past.
Why don't you?
The only one that I don't know, because I'll be honest with you, I would rather have my eye gouged out with a rusty fork than go through that nonsense. I've been through enough of that already. Thank you anyway.
Well, so the rest of us are
speaking.
Aren't looking forward to
identify yourself, please.
We're willing to do it because we all do care about Deer Springs Ranch. We all do still want to protect Deer Springs Ranch.
Well, Jeff, I find that ironic coming from you. Mister, I refuse to sign away anything. That's not protecting Deer Springs Ranch. That is looking solely out for yourself.
I refuse to sign that document. Where do you know me well enough to get that I refuse to sign anything?
What came out of your mouth?
I said I am not signing that document.
Okay, so this isn't going to be productive if we can.
We're gonna stop the arguments. We voted. Let's take a vote on
forming the committee.
Forming the committee.
So one clarification. So I kind of agree with Kevin that there needs to be some more participants. Are we limiting it to just these individuals, or would you be willing to let other members?
Excuse me, it's not on the agenda. This what you're asking for a vote now is not on the agenda.
Okay. You know what, Dan? I will sideline it till the next meeting, and we will vote on it in different verbiage.
The amendments to the law say the president can form a committee at any point in time.
I know that.
It doesn't have to be voted on. Form the committee and let it go.
Okay.
So
form the committee, and you're going.
I mean, read the amendments to committees.
Any other members that want to provide feedback to that committee can do so by emailing the board email address, and I will collect that feedback, and that will be part of forming any future 4.02 waiver.
And Thomas, before the first meeting, I think that we should put a mission statement out for the committee.
We can do that.
So everybody knows exactly what we're trying to accomplish.
Yeah.
And who is on this committee, please?
It has been read off three times.
We'll take it. It'll be in the minutes. I'll make sure that they're in the minutes for you, Sally.
Jeff, Kevin, Thomas, Michael, and Tina?
No.
Tina and Greg.
Thomas, Jeff, Michael, Tina, and Greg.
Yeah.
It'll be in the minutes, though.
Tina Warhurst, not Tina Collin.
Right.
Yeah, Tina was Tina Warhurst.
Be on the committee, too.
Huh?
Gus wants to be on the committee.
Gus. Okay. We're on to the next agenda. I think it was me. So just real quick, we need to get moving on to the budget. But wanted to make everybody aware the county health department, so the five counties, is currently attempting to remove the ability to get septic tanks here at Deer Springs Ranch based off of using hauled water. This would require them, it would make it so you would have to have a well or an actual water source on your property in order to get a septic tank installed on your property. So they will be meeting on December 10th at 10 a.m. If you're interested in going to that meeting, I'd like to coordinate the efforts and a communication plan so that we're not all repeating the same thing over and over as we're presenting that to them. So please contact me and let me know of your interest, and we'll attend that meeting and try and go with that.
Said December. Is it December or November?
December. They originally thought it was November 12th, but they moved it. Okay. That was wrong on the part of our county commissioner. So December 10th is the actual date. It's in St. George at the public health department building.
Not in Cedar.
It's not in Cedar.
So they were well wrong.
Did they say Cedar before?
Yeah, they did. So, yeah, the councilwoman said it was Cedar, November something. So.
Yeah, no. So I think it's in St. George. I'll verify the time. But if you're interested in attending, contact me, and I'll get you all the details, and we need to coordinate it. Right now, it seems like the county is in favor of trying to remove the – right now they're trying to go based off the 180-day that we're not accessible is – kind of how they gave exemptions for Deer Springs. The county wants to remove that. They don't agree with the health department, so they want to make it a county-by-county rule that they can determine what they want to do with it, in which case Kane County is okay with us having septic tanks and running off of hauled water. We have
multiple subdivisions in Kane County that that's the situation with. So Kane County, the commissioners seem in favor of it. They're concerned that some of the other counties, like Washington County, currently has a restriction on hauled water, and they may be against it, you know, for the five counties. So just need to try and get it over to the county so the counties can help control it, because I think they're in favor of supporting Beer Springs Ranch for that. Okay. Any questions on?
I have a quick question. Sorry, this is Donna from Lot 198. For new septic permits only, or if we have a septic permit in place and then get the septic later, or is it everybody going retro back?
Maybe new septic applications. I don't know. I can't see them doing anything. You know, a lot of people have installed septic, currently use it for their RV, and plan on using it for a cabin in the future. I don't know how that would impact that in the future, but the way we understand it right now, it only impact new septic applications. So.
Okay. Get mine in quickly.
Yeah, if you've got it permitted, I'd get it in. But right now they're telling us that they'll deny any permits that come in right at the moment. We haven't actually received one denial yet, according to Larry, but they're saying they would deny it.
They did try to deny some a few years ago, but Larry got that handled, and now it's back.
Okay, Larry, do your magic.
He's doing his magic. He's not here.
Oh, okay.
I think we're
does anybody else have any more questions for Kate on this? Then let's move to Michael Jordison to discuss the budget.
Good. All right.
Y'all need to move up to the sunshine?
Yeah. This is why we do Novembers in after November in Zoom, because it's cold. All right. The budget, or the proposed budget, was sent out with the meeting announcements. I'm just going to kind of go over roughly how I got to where I did. I took the last 4 years of actuals. So what's actually sent out is the last 4 years of budgets that were done. I went ahead and did calculations based on the actuals. What did we spend in each section over the last 4 years? And I, took those basically and added them up, divided by four, and that's what we spent on average in each section. I thought that might get us a better, accurate assessment for each line item. Some years one line item is going to be more than another. Next year it's going to be less. This kind of averaged it out over 4 years. So that's how I got to the numbers. I then took our commitments that we have to pay every year. That every month we have about $10,000 a month we pay out in either salaries or whatever else, QuickBooks, several other items. Kind of outlined those to the rest of the board. And what we had left, and I don't remember the exact number, I didn't write it down, it's about $93,000. Is what we have left to divide up to do whatever projects we want to do or that we need to do.
If I can interject in that just 1 second, it's maintenance before project.
Yes. I mean, we still have maintenance items. We still have other things that we have to do even above and beyond our committed costs, which are salaries and the storage shed and various other items. So that's how I got to the numbers I got to within the report. I kind of divided up or threw some darts at some of the things that we need to get done. Don't have actual estimates on those items, so they may be under, they may be over. But we had to divide the money up somehow in some way. At that, I'm going to open it up briefly to see if there are any questions from members about the numbers. Hang on, I'll open it up to the board in a second.
I am a member. Why is there not a budgeted increase for insurance?
Dan, I appreciate your proposal. So that isn't a member comment. That is a board comment. So I'll go ahead and close it again for member comments, and we'll have a board discussion. So, Dan, you did take it upon yourself to research insurance, and I appreciate that. That's a step in the right direction. What was put on the proposed budget is what next year's projection is. The board hasn't approved updated insurance. It hasn't approved or even discussed adding $3 or $5 million policy. And until that happens, it's not going on the budget. I'm one vote. If the rest of the board sees that different, great. How much would you like it upped? And where do you propose you get the money from?
That's up to you as the treasurer.
No, it's nice try, dude. Nice try. That's the board. We are the board. The treasurer, my job is nothing more than to account for the money and make sure that you aren't stealing the money.
Are you finished?
Knock yourself out, Dan. What do you want?
It would be wise to plan on increasing insurance, especially because of the unfortunate inability to follow best practice for protecting the ranch assets, which has just occurred. So, because something is on the budget doesn't mean that it needs to be spent. What it means is that it's wise to plan for it. And
and there is a plan for it.
Dan, I agree with you 100% that we need more insurance, and we need to plan for it. And it needs to be an agenda item. And I think you're exactly correct, and I think that the amount of insurance that you propose is spot on.
Mm-hmm.
We have to figure out how we could pay for it. And I know you're working on quotes, and it's appreciated, and you are correct.
It's the other issue I have with this budget is the really unwise decision to decrease the amount planned for signage. You know, so with all the whining about let's just increase the insurance, let's put up signs, and then when push comes to shove, and you know, we actually produce signs and have plans to produce signs, what do you do, Jordanson? You decrease the amount planned for signs.
Okay, please let me, Jeff, please. Let me go back to the beginning of my comments, Dan. Mr. Wirt, since we're at last name only here, when you pull the actuals for what we spent as a board on signs over the last 4 years, I doubled it, not decreased it, because we didn't buy signs. I think it's great if we're spending. What do you want? What do you want for signs?
I told you what I wanted.
Please speak publicly. What do you want for signs?
And justify it.
Thank you. We'll get there.
What was planned for last year?
$2,500 was planned for last
year. You asked me, and I'm going to respond.
Please do.
$2,500.
Great.
And in fact, there was money spent on signs this year. You just have not paid them yet.
It was $500.
The invoice just barely came this month.
You're right, Dan. It was $500. And $500 is what we have spent in the last 4 years.
For six signs.
So average that out.
Which is not good planning, isn't it? Isn't it, Jordison? It is not good planning because there's been extensive discussion about signage, right? And just because Ben has only spent $500 so far does not
it's not
obviate, does not obviate all of that planning and discussion. Right. So what the bottom line is, you simply in your process you simply ignored.
Doubled it.
So you ignored what the you ignored the previous plan.
Well, I've got a similar question as well.
Okay. So that's fine.
So Ben ordered 6 signs to do all the entrances for around $500. We just got the invoice, and I just read emails that says pay him.
Yeah.
Okay. So what is the budget for signs this year?
$1,000.
$1,000. That says we get 12 signs if the numbers are very similar. Where would you like to put 12 signs? And how is that not enough?
Jeff, maybe you're not thinking clearly about this. I just got Larry just told me quoted a price for installing those 6 signs, including the labor and the pressure treated posts, which will be $1,200, which would exceed what Jordanson has put on his budget.
Do we have any
so that's labor and material for the putting the signs?
Let's maybe take a step back. Set up some ground rules. So I'm going to have some of this. I have some of the same considerations and stuff. So let me make sure I understand where we're at. So Michael has put a proposed budget based off of what expenditures have been before. So right now our process would be to come and say, I would like to increase this item by this much in order to cover that, and then we're going to vote on it or try and come to an agreement on a change, and then we're voting on the whole thing. What's kind of our process in order to finalize this budget? What are we doing?
However you guys want to do it. We need to finalize the budget one way or another. It needs to be voted on. There is...
So right now, Dan wants $2,500 for signs,
$11,000 for insurance,
and $11,000 for insurance. Or what are you proposing for insurance, Dan?
The astronomical increase in umbrella coverage that has been communicated to me via our longtime insurance agent would increase the insurance to $12,000. And that would include.
And it's currently how much?
6.
That's going to double.
That's right.
But that's for like 4 times.
I thought that was a new insurance agent.
No, it's 1.5 times.
Our current
is what I'm talking about.
The current budget is 51. For liability.
Well, that's the proposed budget right now.
But we're currently paying about $5,000.
Okay, can I finish?
No.
Well, I was asking a question. I'm trying to write down.
I can't finish? Is that what you just said?
No, I'm just being smart ass.
Yeah.
So we're currently paying about $6,000 for insurance?
So I would like to finish.
$5,000 is what we paid last year.
Because I haven't seen those numbers. So
it's about 6. Including the liability, director's insurance, and property. It's about 6 in total. Because in the last 90 days, there's been, to quote, an astronomical increase in insurance for a cost for umbrella insurance, this would mean it would be $12,000. To add a $2 million umbrella to our current $1 million liability, which would make it $3 million. This, I think, is still really insufficient given the current environment.
Would you just...
I'm not finished. I am not
finished.
Hey, Tina, right now it's just the board discussion. Sorry.
Say that out loud, so that can be in the minutes. Young man.
Why don't you shorten your stuff? Because you talk too much.
Tina. Well, you say that loud enough, Dan, so that other people can hear what you just said under your breath. And have that in the minutes.
You know, I could say, but to quote you, I won't.
Child.
What did he say?
Called her a bitch.
You're playing with fire, bud.
Class.
So I have a proposal on the insurance. Okay, Tina, hold on. On the insurance line, since we haven't, as a board, got to discuss the ins and the outs and the whys and the whats and all that stuff before proposing an $11,000 budget item, how about we be prepared to pull additional money from the savings account or the checking account, wherever we have money from, when we do have that discussion, if we do determine we should increase those policies. We just pull the money from savings or checking or any of those other accounts.
I think it's a Michael question.
And then budget it for the next following year.
Yeah, I think not a direct answer to what you're saying. I think that's a good idea, but I think that we need to have an agenda item at the board discussion about this.
Can I ask a question?
I don't think they can hear you out.
May I ask a question?
Just a sec. We're still kind of in board discussion, so I don't know if we're opening
yet. I think that we need to make this a discussion at a board meeting on the agenda. It's an item that needs to be discussed, and we can't just jump out and propose a number. I don't disagree with the additional coverage on Dan's part. I have a niece in Texas who has done nothing but HOA her entire life, and she actually quoted a higher number that the size of property should have. So I don't think Dan's out of line on that, but we do need to discuss and plan for the expense.
Well, I don't think he's out of line either, because after he sent over all that insurance information, I started researching it too.
Mm-hmm.
And those numbers fall right in line with typical HOA policies across the nation.
Yeah.
So my hang up is that it's very short notice.
That's
to
why,
bring these to the table and then say, oh, by the way, I demand it's in the budget now.
I think we need to have the discussion first, and then where the money comes from is going to be Michael's input.
So where's your finance committee that brings the budget proposal to the board?
I didn't hear the question.
What was that question again?
Our treasurer put it all together and brought
where,
it to the
where is your finance committee?
There's no requirement
the to bring. Wait a minute, let me finish my sentence. Where is your finance committee, including the treasurer, to bring the proposed budget to the board so you all can vote on it?
We don't have a finance committee.
There is no such thing as
a finance committee. Maybe it would be a good idea.
Maybe it would be a good idea for in this planning budget to plan ahead for this sort of likely expense.
Yeah, he did. So Dan, and Dan gave input. So Dan.
I need to backtrack. So yes, I'm going to backtrack a little bit. Dan, your input, I appreciate it. I am happy to put numbers down. Whatever you think they are, if you think you're going to spend $2,500 in signs this year, I'm happy to put that down. But I'm going to be real clear from a treasurer perspective. I will be a no vote on a non-balanced budget. We can come up with funds later on, either from general funds that we have sitting outside of this budget,
And the board can vote on that and propose that. And that's something Cade's going to bring up here as well. But for a budget that we're going to present to the members and say, this is what we're going to spend this year, I will not vote for anything that is not in balance. So I'll put down anything you want in any column you want, but we're going to balance it at the end and not be in the red.
Well, go ahead and balance it.
So where do we pull the money from? That was a question that's already been asked.
What he's saying is we're not going to pull money. We're going to balance what we have.
So we right now have $5,956 in order to, if we go with the currently proposed budget. If we don't take it from some other line item, it's $5,956 that we can.
There's some reserve out there. I left some reserve. I didn't spend it all or earmark it all.
I think it's about $5,956 is what's on the line.
Yeah. Yeah, there's some reserve there. Setting
if you increase the sign budget, that takes that down to 35?
Yeah, thereabouts.
35-ish, yeah.
So that doesn't cover the other 6,000 that Dan wants to stick into the insurance line.
Absolutely. We would have to pull that from somewhere else.
And he's got $2,500 budget right now, $500 of it spent, so he's still got $2,000 from this year that you can spend for
No, he doesn't.
Cannot be rolled over.
No. If he spends it this year.
If he spent this year.
He's going to spend.
Yes, December 31st.
It's
the board.
The board is going to spend another $1,200, according to Dan, on his bid to do the install of those signs.
Right.
So we're now $1,700 of that.
If he can get it done this year, then he can get the $1,200 done this year.
Correct.
With this year's budget. And then next year he would have, if we increase it to 25, he'd have $2,500 to do whatever.
I'm not going to try to spend that remainder on the sign budget before December 31st.
Go ahead and change that to 25. I don't care.
Suggestion? So if you want the line item for insurance to be 11,000 or 12,000 or whatever that number is, do you have a suggestion on what other line item it gets pulled from?
That's why you need a finance committee.
Because everything. Respectfully, no. This was sent to the board 2 weeks ago. And this could have been discussed over the last 2 weeks.
I don't see anywhere to reasonably pull it from. So what gets sacrificed?
I have a question, and please for you.
Please.
Is there a way to take budget money from this year and escrow it so it is out of the can't spend it next year loop, but it's reserved? Is there a possibility for something of that nature?
Yes and no. And I'll give you the accounting answer to start with. And the accounting answer is we're a cash accounting system, which means there's no real good way to roll money from one expense account to another. It can't happen. If you or I resign next week and we've rolled over $10,000, say, in a gentleman's agreement, does the next board know that?
Well, here's a perfect example. So we got $15,000 back this year. It decremented the water budget, so you saw a negative amount. That's because we got $15,000 back. That was put into a savings account, theoretically reserving it, but if we spend that now, it's still going to go against whatever our budgeted amount. So most likely, water's going to end up in a negative. If we stay at the $7,500, which I don't know where else we're going to pull money from, then this year, if we spend that full $15,000 that was saved, I'm going to have to show a negative or an over expenditure. I'm out of budget, but we know where the out of budget came from. So yes and no, it's kind of.
Yes and no. So the budget has to go out. You have to.
And we have to account against that budget, but we can overspend the budget.
And
if we have funds to do it.
The P&L is going to go out every month, and we're going to have this set out, sent out to the members.
Well,
so,
yes and no, then, is the answer.
So I'm getting to the yes part, is what I'm trying to get to. We're getting to the yes part. As a board, we know that there is money left over from last year and the year before and the year before and whatever's been left over. That's sitting in our submitting account.
I got missing them.
As a treasurer, and I hope as members, how you would maybe do your own life, I would like to see us keep 6 months of operating expenses in that account and not fit below that. I mean, that's just good practice for us to know that we can still pay the salaries of our contract services and we can still keep the lights on and whatever else. So that we have another set of money that's above that 6 months. As a board, if you come and say, hey, I need $40,000 to fix these roads, the rest of the board can say, we agree, and we take that money out of general funds, and we make that payment over and above the budget.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, we can move that money forward. We just can't show it on this sheet or the P&L.
Okay.
Well, the
solution to reserving funds for an insurance increase that we're probably going to incur.
Exactly where I would get that money from, the insurance.
Yeah, whether by market standard or whether by vote. Either way, the insurance company's probably going to charge us more anyway.
They're going to come to us and want more money, and we're going to have to figure out how to do it. Do we take it out of excess operating? Do we do a special assessment? All of those are on the table for the board. So that's why I left the budget the way it is. This is what we know our expense is now. We may be choosing to up that and go a different route, but we will have to find that money when that time comes and we make that vote. That's what I'm trying to get at.
Yeah, I'm just seeking a solution, that's all.
Totally agree.
So, Michael, if we went forward with the budget as it is, and in July of next year we decide we're going to take on a different insurance policy that's higher, we can find the money to pay for it, to execute it.
There are multiple options for us to pay for that extra insurance, yes.
So right now, before the 2026 budget is not necessarily required.
It's not required at this time.
To be able to still afford it if we want to do it later.
Correct.
Thank you.
But we could also increase the amount just a little bit because we've got $5,900 left over. We'll be within zero, whatever.
No, so take the $2,500 off of that. Bring your calculator up.
Well, we haven't. Are we going to do the $2,500 too?
So,
I mean, we've got $5,956, and we can play around with either for both the
$1,500 off of that's $4,400. So there's $4,400 left. How much do you want
to? So we're increasing the. You're proposing we increase the signs to $2,500.
$2,500. Fine.
Well, before we decide where other things need to go, just a couple things from the water side that we need to bring up to think about for expenses. And again, I think there's funds for it, but we do need to do the water connections. We think that'll be anywhere from $5,000 if we can do it without having to put in new tanks. If we need to do new tanks, it'll probably cost us about $10,000. We have $15,000 set aside for that, so hopefully we can just kind of do that. So again, for normal maintenance, I'm fine with the $7,500. And then I sent out a proposal to the board to solarize the well that's feeding the 40,000-gallon tank. And I think we're going to need about $15,000 to do that. And I don't know where we're going to come up with the money for that. So I'm fine with the water budget as it is. Well, the other thing I mentioned, too, is we've got this diversion catchment that was done last year. We spent about $7,000 on it. And it probably needs a little bit of maintenance this year. So I'd like to make sure that gets maintained as well. So.
Is that going to be under roads or is that going to be under water resources?
Well, I could see it going under the water catchments and diversions, or I could see it going under the flood, which is actually under agriculture.
There's a section under agricultural that
for the what is it called?
Crop management erosion control.
Erosion control. Yeah. So either one of those, we might need a little bit of money there.
Okay, I'm going to I have some so everybody understands there's an email brought up about this, and I've been saying this for years, from Pipeline Green Gate at the back of the ranch to the ponds, there's no west fence there.
And that's how the cows, they go through there, they go up the pipeline and get water from the spring. They go over to the cabin area, they get into the ponds, that's how they're getting in. And then they also go down to Broad Hollow. I know this because one of my cows is one of them, and I keep seeing her in these three spots. And then Clancy and I walk that. The fence goes a little ways, and then there's just no fence. And so I'm working with Lyndon Beislein on building that fence and also on putting a fence protection area around the spring in the upper cabins.
Yeah, so that was the other one I was going to bring up. So we do need that upper spring.
Yeah, so I don't know.
We have 3,500 in fencing, and that was kind of what that was earmarked
for. Right, and I have 2,300 this year. He's going to come out next week, and we're going to try to get at least part of it done by the end of the year. I don't know where that fencing number is going to be. I might have to borrow from another column to do that. I don't think we're going to have $3,000 doesn't go very far for brush hog maintenance. And the fish and supplies is spent. So that's going to be a little tight pulling erosion control out of there. And
We would add some in from erosion control if we needed to there.
Yeah, I'm proposing like maybe $1,500 to $2,000 either in erosion control or if we want to call it water catchment, we could put it in there. But and even there,
and as far as the leftover money, the extra money, if you want to call it, in the budget, I think that we don't have to spend it right now. Because we're going to run into, I don't know how much this fence is going to cost, and we need to get an idea of what the erosion maintenance is going to cost.
So what I'm hearing from everybody is that we can go with this budget, but almost everybody's going to be over budget next year.
We're going to have to work together to make it come out balanced, and on the extra projects, Michael's going to have to find the money for it.
No. But that's not how this works.
Fake cells, Michael.
Just so everyone knows, they have already decided your dues are going up. So
yellow, yellow, yellow.
Make the insurance budget to find the money to pay for it. Down the road, you're going to run out of extra money.
Well, actually, Tina, there's extra stuff on the budget this year that's not normally there. Like the EPA.
Not a lot.
Huh?
Not a lot. But
well,
yeah.
It's about $20,000 for the fuel tanks.
If you find the money, pay for extra insurance. And then next year you find the money, pay for extra insurance. Eventually there's not enough.
It's an inflationary question.
Yeah.
It's exactly.
But at some point, they're going to have to raise the dues, though, because fixed costs keep going up.
They're going to go up. Yep. There's going to have to, all this is going to have to be included in that discussion.
The liability is not necessary.
Well, that's the discussion we'll have when we talk about the insurance. Yeah.
That's our discussion to have internally and let you know that we've had the discussion and we've raised the insurance. I'm sorry to shut you down that way, but that is our discussion to have.
Well, and it's on the future in the table, right? But that is valid for the in the future. It's definitely valid comment.
I mean,
we're grotesquely underfunded anyway, so.
So as it sits now, we've raised the signage to 2,500 and leave everything else as is, and we will discuss. Or do you have other things you want
to? No, I think it would be reasonable to raise the insurance budget a little bit because I think
we know
it's going to go up. So I even if we stay the same where we're at, I think we're going to be.
I think we ought to tackle that in one chunk when the time comes.
Well, we could do that too. I mean, I just like $6,000 was what we paid last year, but I'm expecting we'll at least pay $8,000 this year.
But see,
we know that's an inflation.
But the two are together. You've got $5,100 plus. Well, I have my glasses on.
I don't think
they are. Yeah. The
all of his two are together.
So the director's insurance and liability policy go together. So that's $6,300. Which may not be enough.
That's what I.
Which may not be enough even with standard insurance.
If we stay the same and don't do anything.
Pay the rate.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That we might want to raise that to like $8,000 just so that we're.
Well, now you're done with the reserve at the bottom. There's nothing left over. So it's up to you. I don't care if we put numbers there. As long as the reserve at the bottom, or as long as we're in the black at the end.
It has to be zero or above.
Zero or above. Yeah.
I agree with that.
Because the insurance
is going to increase
whether we like it or not. So I don't see it staying the same. Mine never does.
I think it's more accurately reflecting what we're going to spend this year.
So you want to put that to 7,100?
I'm going to figure where the...
Just means budget holders need to be really
cognizant of where they're spending that money. And
so that leaves us...
That's you.
In the black.
Do you have a Becker?
15...
You want to work with one? I was going to ask him.
We need a waiver committee budget.
I wrote an email to ask him for some money, but I don't think I sent it. Did I send you a request for a website?
So there's about $1,000 in the website.
Okay, so that's what I was going to ask.
You've got a budget.
I promise I won't spend more than $999.
But I don't know if we have anything coming due for
hosting fees and stuff.
No.
Domain registration
stuff. Yeah, I don't know if it's this year or next year.
Yeah, that's fine.
Sounds like we might have done it last year, but
yeah, we are with GoDaddy.
We are with GoDaddy, but
and it's not cheap.
GoDaddy just raised everything. Yeah.
Yeah.
Any I forget number, who I'm with. But
anybody on the board would like to adjust? There's $2,000 left in reserve currently.
I think we should leave it.
I think we should leave it in reserve.
Something in reserve.
Just in case.
Now, I think everybody's aware of all the expenses. I think Kevin's going over. There, so I have no issues.
I've got to fix my truck, so we'll have to figure that.
I'm going to go ahead and propose that we approve the proposed budget with the two amendments, adding $1,500 to signs and $2,000
to insurance.
I want to be specific here. $2,000 to liability and property insurance. And those are the only two changes.
So making the sign budget $2,500 and making the insurance budget what?
$7,100.
$7,100. Total. Well,
that's for just liability and
just the liability.
Just for the liability. Liability and property, because director's insurance is a different
line item.
So those are the only two changes to the budget that was sent to the board and to the members. I'm proposing that we approve this budget as it sits.
I second.
I approve.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 Aye. Dan, what's your vote? Okay.
Good.
So everybody was in favor except for Dan, right? Just so I'm
yes.
Documenting.
Yes, okay. Dan.
Living away.
All right.
I think we can tackle that.
Let's knock out these contracts. Cade, would you lead us? You have a computer there, so let's talk about Abby Jones.
Well, so I sent out the three contracts. Did you guys have a chance to look over them? Were there any concerns?
I have read all three, yes.
I'm good with all of them.
And Dan, I think last time you had a concern about, them maintaining their own liability insurance, is that resolved at this point, or? The discussion kind of went that we weren't paying them enough to expect them to require to have their own insurance. It always had, but the three little subcontract ones is one we're talking now, and it does none of those have that in there.
All we're talking right now is bookkeeping, water testing, and water operator. So
I understand.
Okay, you brought up the property manager contract, which is
the reason I brought it up is that it specifies. That the property manager has to carry their own liability coverage. So the question is, other contracts or not? That was, I believe, the question I brought up.
It was, and
not necessarily for me to answer the question.
Yeah. I think it would be nice, but I don't think we can reasonably expect those contractors to perform and put out that expense for what we're paying on those contracts. Was kind of my decision, but
well, that's something we can discuss later because that's discussion for another day.
If we wanted to add that,
we're going to just do these three that we've reviewed, and I'll put out a motion to it.
I'll second the motion.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 Louder.
Abstain.
I kind of, well, that's kind of not fair, though, because
all right.
I should abstain from peanuts, but not the other two.
Just say aye.
Your objection is noted. And if
you're, we understand what you're saying.
Yeah. But I do know that Tina has issues with the one that we wrote for her. That she would want modified. So
then she would, what are the issues? She should bring it forward. Then.
That should be brought forward.
Are we going to open up for member comments?
What's that?
Because of what?
So
do we want to work it here?
We're going to have to work it here because we got to.
No, we'll do an executive meeting with that in order to resolve that. So
what's that?
We'll have to do the executive meeting with that.
Meeting item.
Okay.
Issues with the contract.
Would you please send us an email of your issues?
Well, we can even hang out after this real quick and do a quick executive meeting.
This brings up the second thing. Has any of the other two...
I have not presented... Yeah, so that was going to be my next... So we've approved it.
So we need the whole camp group contract.
Well, we can approve that. This is what we want to do.
Sign them and great. We address it.
Understand. So I agree.
I think that we can move on and approve these, and then we can amend Tina's at her convenience.
Well, and so I would, now that we've approved them, I presume you want to present them to the individuals and see what they want to do with them.
I will present them.
Cool.
And
we'll see if they've got any objections.
If they have any objections to them, and then we'll handle them all at once.
If they have objections.
If they have any problems with it. In the meantime, if Tina would send us an email with your issues, I would like to see that. We would all like
to see
that.
If it's something we can do this afternoon still, I'm happy to hang out.
Yeah.
I think it's mainly a matter of verbiage.
Of what?
Verbiage.
Let's save it for...
Yeah. Send us an email so we all have the information, and we can discuss it in a meeting and get back to Tina.
So is the rest of the board okay with... Kurt reaching out to the other two members and presenting the contracts to them because they have not had a chance to review those.
Yes.
That I'll approve.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey.
All around the contract thing, can I sign that paper?
Yes.
You're going to see Ben later?
Yes. He went home. He's going to come by later. So this is ours.
Too slow.
Your Springs Ranch section. You can fill out.
Is this board too slow?
No. From now on, we can only have one agenda item for the meetings.
Only one contentious agenda item for me?
It starts.
Well, but we're still on schedule, aren't we?
We're 2 hours in, so we're not terrible.
That is still the one.
Executive.
We're two peas in a pod.
We're ahead of schedule. We're supposed to start this topic at noon.
We're on schedule.
Yeah. We're on schedule, so...
What else is left?
That's it.
Everything else got tabled.
Everything else got tabled.
Areas of responsibility.
Kate, I will get with you, and I got like kind of like a 3-month plan on agendas that I'd like to share with you, and then you can understand why.
Sounds good.
Good. Tom, do you have anything to add?
Good.
Jeff?
I got a lot of stuff going on.
Background.
I know you do.
Do we need to make an agenda item for the next meeting? So we're going to make an agenda item for the 4.02 committee.
Well, that's something that...
For next time.
I don't think that needs to be.
That doesn't need.
No, because the committee doesn't need it.
Yeah, it hurts us.
All I would like to have is a mission statement that we can send.
So part of the trio objection was 24. The board can amend, create, or remove rules.
Right.
Do we need an agenda item to review Rule 24?
I would like that to be part of your mission statement.
Yes. Okay.
So
everything related to the waiver,
the trio will all be covered by the committee.
And
good.
Are we going to have them ratify the rules too, or is that a separate?
No, the board does that.
Yeah.
We will bring back a proposal that the board will review.
And we want it. We want it to be in alignment with state law first. Then our rules and regulations need to be in line with state law, and so forth.
Well, that's a totally different topic.
And it's exactly right. So we're just handling the committee right now.
So I guess the one thing I would bring up in my area of report, just really quick, there were a couple of actions taken without a meeting. We had to respond to a records request from Jeff and Tina Collins about 4.02, and then we just agreed that a $500 per month discretionary funds, just so everybody's aware, those were decided outside of the meeting.
And I have a topic later on to discuss regarding the CapEx, and that's for another discussion.
CapEx?
Capital expenditure.
Oh, capital expenditure.
Do you have anything else, Michael?
Yes. Larry Clarkson did stop by briefly and handed me the wildlife income check. So that will get deposited here shortly. It was a little over $15,000 this year.
Wow.
Fantastic.
Good.
Yeah, we have it.
Yeah.
We didn't add that to the budget.
Because I just got it.
Come on, Michael.
Last year's.
Goes out as fast as it comes in.
I put the check in my pocket. It's going.
Don't tell people you got money. We'll spend it.
I have one more small thing. Jeff, Greg, are you two comfortable with just working together on that EPA situation?
Yeah, we're going to go over it after this, too.
Good.
I'm done. That was it. Just
Dan, do you have a brief report area?
Kevin?
That's what we're doing.
Okay. Yeah.
You're up now.
Brief report on roads. Of course, it's a little bit of old news. It was something that was on the agenda before. If I've seen out of a cattle guard over in Johnny Brown that has been taken care of. We had two culverts and a bunch of grading and drainage work accomplished on Highway to Heaven. So that was also taken care of. The original estimate was $1,800. It came in at $1,500, so we look like geniuses on that one. Other than that, I've had a considerable amount of time driving not every road on the ranch, but probably 30 to 40 miles of them, because there are some of them, and quite honestly, I didn't want to go up there and get stuck. having done that, I have compiled a list of problem spots. There's no way we're going to address every pothole, every rut, every ripple, every bump, every mudhole. We're looking for the big one. With that, the area along the ponds where all of the shredded wood from a couple of years ago has plugged every culvert, creating a massive nightmare that has overrun that entire Crawford Canyon Road area up there and destroyed a lot of it. That is on the agenda. The S-curve where the Johnny Brown cutoff road is on the agenda. There are a couple of large mud holes on slide, the one with the first turn right there by, I believe it's Mr. Cox's property. There's a big mud hole right there that's on the agenda. If you continue up towards 218 and that area up there, there are two more mud holes that are on the agenda in that area. And then Larry is going to do some culvert digging, hopefully with the remaining budget of this year. And also, he is moving some kind of equipment and trailers up in the pipeline area where he is going to go ahead and take care of some grading and issues up in that part of the ranch. So that's where we are right now.
And you and I are going to take care of the bottom of that one.
Yeah, well, I didn't put that one on there, but it needs it. Yeah.
The road going in between cabins? You rut? I'm scared to drive.
Yeah, that's a grading issue.
Yeah.
Larry usually
does that when he's coming through. His grader is about to get test fired.
And then this week. Exposed culvert, right?
77.
That needs to be removed because that's not. That needs to be pulled out. And
yeah, the road going up to the lower cabins, I'm aware of it. That's really kind of a non-factor. That's rarely probably 20 minutes with someone. If I had a box blade on a tractor, I would have already drug it. But I've asked Kurt. He says we do not possess a box blade for the Kubota, which would be a really nice thing if someone has one laying around that we could rent, buy, beg, borrow, or thieve. So
5 foot, 6 foot, 7 foot, 8 foot?
Probably, what would you say? 6 foot?
10 foot.
10 foot?
Would be nice, 8 foot.
Why does the
Kubota? Do they make them
that? The Kubota's 6 feet wide.
We can go wider.
We can go wider than that.
Bush hog's wider than that. But that's really rocky up there, and it's probably going to come out better with a grader, because then you can scoot excess rocks to the side.
Is it one that Kate can practice on?
Is that?
Is that one that Kate
can practice on? No.
Right here. Well, even before I do this one, I think I would do up on top by the RV pads before.
Yeah, the RV pads would be a good place to work.
Yeah, because there's not. It's flat and there's no fences to take out.
And I'll be glad to jump in there and help you out a little bit too.
This wheel up there?
It's just Larry's storing it there for now. He's taking it up to lot 198.
That's what we're talking about.
Yeah,
that's he has what, to do road work up there.
He's got to do some road work to get it up there. So, no, it's just
storage.
Store it there. We're not using it.
Now we know where it came from.
Yeah, I've just been answering like, just to see if anybody's paying attention.
Thought that might have been
okay. Yeah, exactly. I just didn't think it was that big of a deal. It's not connected, but. And in my area of my area of responsibility is agriculture, and I'm working with Lyndon Beislein, will be coming next week, as I said earlier. And we're going to walk the fence and the water protection area around the spring at the upper cabins and get that area fenced so the cows can no longer invade those lots up along pipeline. And there's other issues that are included in there. Kevin Ballard is going to accompany us, and we're going to walk through all the issues and try to seal off the pond area from cows. That's how they're getting back. Well, that's been something I've been trying to get to for 5 years. That's all I have.
Well,
you have
anything?
I don't have anything important because I don't have a property manager, so I can't do jobs.
Did Dan have an
assistant? Yeah, Dan has like TV.
No, about you.
Okay.
What about him?
We know about it. We don't want to bring it up too much.
We'll figure it out.
I'm going to propose to adjourn this meeting.
So before we adjourn, two questions. Mm-hmm. Are we planning on just Zoom only next month?
Yeah,
December. It'll be
absolutely.
Cold.
Absolutely.
Yeah, because this was cold.
This was ridiculous. Tina? I'm going to tell you something. And we'll still be freezing because it's the same temperature in the store as out here.
Now, the other question I have, Dan, did we reschedule with the fire warden? Does he plan on next month, or do we want to do a special meeting, or what are you thinking of doing on that?
No schedule yet. I would assume that we wait until the weather permits its personal presence.
Good.
Spring, probably. Well, we could have a December here.
We could.
We could just get a conference room. I've offered to pay for it before.
Yeah, I'm good. Do we need to have a quick executive?
Only if we want to talk.
I think let me present all the contracts and let's get the information from Tina, and
then we can have a discussion about that. Manager timeline. Yeah. Oh, the ranch manager timeline?
Timing? To get the new one in, the board needed to
decide January. That.
Well,
see, we need to talk about
that. Yeah. Okay, so we'll have a quick board meeting.
See, we need to talk about it.
Adjourn this meeting, please.
I'll second.
Aye.
Aye.